Finishing up on the Chof HaDimyon and the analogy between A and B, in this case it's Kluta Kamisha Huncha Dami, and that means that if you throw an object on Shabbos from one Rishus to another and it lands in a third Rishus, so the question is, you need for Shabbos an Akira and a Hanocha. In this case the Hanocha was in a third Rishus. Like for example, let's say you have Rishus HaYochid here and a Rishus HaYochid here, but in the middle you have a Rishus HaRabim. So if we look at the physical object that was thrown, in the case of Zorek, from Rishus HaYochid, it landed in Rishus HaYochid. So you wouldn't be chayav for that. But there's a principle called Kluta Kamisha Uncha, that if it was in the airspace, flying over the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, that wedges between the two Rishus HaYochids, then you're chayav. And once again, there are two ways of defining that Chof HaDimyon. One way is to take it literally and say that it's really it's considered as if it's munach, it's actually resting on the karka, meaning that as if to say the rishus of the karka goes from the karka all the way up to the heavens, and wherever it is in the air of the karka, yeah, it's considered to be munach al gabi karka. And the other ways of saying it is, let's not assume it's landed on the karka. It hasn't landed on the karka. It's flying through the airspace of the karka. But what does it mean, kemisha huncha al gabi karka? It means that it's considered to have been swallowed up by the rishus. It's located in that rishus. It's not munach al gabi karka, but rather it's considered as if it went through that rishus, and that's enough to be mechayev it, because it went from Rishus HaYochid into a Rishus HaRabim. It was never munach in the karka of Rishus HaRabim, but since it was kolut in the avir of Rishus HaRabim, it was, so to speak, taken on, you know, by the space, the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, and therefore he's chayev. But it's not considered kimunach al-gabi karka. That's if we refuse to take the Chof HaDimyon literally. If on the other hand we take it literally, so there's a machlokas between Tosus and the Ramban. And perhaps that machlokas can shed a light on this Chof HaDimyon of Kluta Kamisha Huncha Dami. Tosus is on Daf Hei Amid Beis in Masechta Shabbos, and he quotes a Yerushalmi. Now, in order to appreciate this Yerushalmi, we need a little background, and that's the Shita of Ben Azai. What's the Shita of Ben Azai? Ben Azai holds that Omeid Kimahalich Domi. Now when a person walks, it's always considered as if when he puts his foot down, as if he made a Hanocha the very moment that he steps down on a certain place. So even though he physically never stopped walking, he's always considered walking. Ben Azai says, nevertheless, it's considered as if he made a Hanocha at every step. That's called Omeid Kimahalich Domi. Oh. So now we have a serious problem. We have a malacha called Dalet Amos Bishus HaRabim. Now there are different ways of violating that. You could do it through Zrika, but let's say he does it through carrying, literally Halicha. So he's walking four Amos with something in his hand from one part of Bishus HaRabim to the other part, four Amos later. If you hold like Ben Azai, that Mahalich is Ka'ome Domi, then what it means is that every time he puts his foot down, unless he has a very wide stride, you know, he can go four Amos long, he's already made a Hanocha. In order to be chai for Dalet Amos Bishus HaRabim, you need an Akira at the beginning of Dalet and a Hanocha at the end of Dalet. But here he keeps making Hanochas every time he puts his foot down. So Tosus quotes Yerushalmi, and Yerushalmi asks this question. Al Daite de Rabbi Ben Azai, Ein Adam Mischayev al Dalet Amos Bishus HaRabim Liolam? Could it be that never could you incur the Chiyuv of Dalet Amos? The Aset should be considered, says Yerushalmi, Kamisha Hunchal Kol Amma V'Amma. He gives an example, he puts down his foot after an Amma. And if that be the case, there's a Hanocha every Amma. So he really carried it four Ammas, but one Amma at a time, with Hanocha separating the first Amma from the second and the second from the third. V'Poter. Umeshani, the Gemara and the Yerushalmi, is so impressed by this Kasha that Mishkachas Lei Bekofetz. It's only a case where he jumps four Amos. You know, this is very relevant now to the Olympics. You know, you need an Olympic runner here who can jump, an Olympic jumper who can jump four Amos at a time. Then the Gemara gives the example of Zorek. Now, the Yerushalmi asks this kasha. However, the Bavli doesn't even raise this kasha. The Bavli says that Dalin Amis Bishus Arab is Hilchasa Gmirle. It's Aloch Lemoshe V'Sinai. And therefore, insofar as all the Tanoim, including Ben Azai, received or accepted this tradition, this transmission of Aloch Lemoshe V'Sinai of Dalin Amis Bishus Arab, so that Yechayah for Dalin Amis Bishus Arab, Enochinami, you might consider it a problem according to Ben Azai, but it's not a problem. Why not? Because there's Aloch Lemoshe V'Sinai. The Aloch Lemoshe V'Sinai itself sort of addresses this problem and solves the problem. That's the way it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu orally, that Yechayah for Dalin Amis Bishus Arab.
But what does that mean? So
that's what Tosfos is going to analyze. So what does it mean? So you have a Hilchos HaGemirah, and therefore you don't even raise the objection. According to Ben Azai, every Amah he made a Hanocha. So he says the following. The same question you could ask on Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the Baal HaMemra, the Baal HaRegulation that says, Kluto Kamisha Unchatomi. So let's say I throw something Dalin Amis Bishus Arab, which is okay according to Ben Azai. There's no Omeid Kemahalik Domi, so he never made a Hanocha. It was always in the air. But now I want to introduce the principle of Rabbi Akiva, Kluto Kamisha Unchatomi. If Kluto Kamisha Unchatomi, then maybe we should say that it's considered as if it's munach after one amma, and then munach again after the other amma. So Tosfos says, V'afal gav, the kemisha huncha dami, nevertheless, bezorek dalat amas shesarabim chay behilchus ha-gemiralon. So basically, Tosfos applies this hilchus ha-gemiralon of dalat amas shesarabim to both Rabbi Akiva and Ben Azai. Ben Azai because of omei kemahalif dami, and Rabbi Akiva because kutu kemisha huncha. So in truth, the Havamin is correct, even Lamaskana, that Kluta Kamisha Unchadami means there's Anocha that breaks up the Tziruf, the continuity between one Am and the next Am, or according to Ben Azai, Mahalik Ka Omei Domi, that means there's Mahalik Ka Omei Domi, right? Yeah. Which means that you have Anocha at the end of every Am. And we have no answer to this question. The only answer to this question is Hilchasa Gemirah.
What is Kluta?
Kluta means, as I said before, maybe you weren't here, that once it's in the Avir, it's considered over the space as if it's moving.
Right, but that's not the same as what Ben Azai is saying in the air, because there's no foot to go down. So it is
right, so I'm not trying to compare Ben Azai and Rabbi Akiva. They're mutually, well, I wouldn't say exclusive, but they're independent one of the other. But they both have to face the same problem. That if you're creating this fictitious Hanocha, then you never could achieve Dalin Amis. And the only answer that Tosfos could come up with is Hilchasa Gemirah. Now let's fast forward to the Ramban. I told you this in Machlokes between Tosfos and the Ramban. The Ramban says that Umifika La Delo Amar Rabbi Akiva Kluta Kamisha Hilcha La Dafka Behachnosal Rishus Acheres. Rabbi Akiva didn't mean that within one Rishus, it's Kemunach Domi. Kluta Kamisha Uncha Domi means that it's considered to be kolut in the Mechitzos of that Rishus. It's not a Hanocha, it's a new substitute for Hanocha, namely called Kluta. Aval Bechad Rishus Alo Amrinon. So the Ramban says the following, that Nifakei La Delo Amar Rabbi Akiva Kluta Kamisha Uncha Ladafka Acheres. So it comes out that within one Rishus, Rabbi Akiva is not going to say Kamisha Hun Chadomi. And we're going to have to wait until the object actually falls down from the sky onto the ground. And the Ran goes a step further. He says that Leben Aza, Imachai B'mavre Daladam Sarabim, Lo Mifter Mita Mahalik Ke'ome Domi. Why? Because it's all within one Rishus. So again, let's understand. If you assume that Ben Azai's principle Mahalik Ka'omei Domi and Rabbi Akiva's principle likewise of Kluta Kamisha Uncha only applies when you leave one Rishus, but within the same Rishus you don't apply these principles, then there's nothing to talk about. Mavir Dalin Amis means you're within the same Rishus, and there's no problem neither of Omei Kemahalik Domi or Mahalik Ka'omei Domi or of Kluta Kamisha Uncha. The Yerushalmi seems to assume, on the other hand, that we have a double problem, according to Rabbi Kiva and according to Ben Azai, with regard to Dalai Lama's Bishus HaRabim, and the only solution to that problem is Hilchos HaGemirah. So he suggests the following, that according to the Baalei HaTosfos, we have to take Kluta Kamisha Unchadami literally. And it means that it's mamish like a hanocha, as if to say it's munach al gabi karka. And Tosfos therefore says, how can we justify mavrid dalet amos b'shusharamim? And the only answer could be that there's no kluta kamisha uncha here, because you're all within the same rishus. Meaning that had you applied the principle of kluta kamisha uncha dami, Tosfos would say that it's kemunach mamish. I'll explain it in just a minute. But according to the Ramban and see also his whole group, Lishitosa Maklal Kluta Mishuncha Tofes Rak Kasher Ovrim Mirshus Rishus, and therefore they don't have this problem. Mishonim Eilu Mefarsh Maklal B'derech Miluli. So again, if I take it literally and I say Kamishuncha Dami, then I have a serious problem. Why? Because then I could say it's Munach Dami at every single step of the way. And then I'm going to have to come up with some sort of Hilchos HaGemirah to justify that Yechai Fidal and Amos B'Shuram. If, on the other hand, I'm going to say that Kluta Kamisha Uncha Dami only means that it's colored in one Rishus, then we only apply Kamisha Uncha Dami when it leaves that Rishus and goes into the other Rishus, and therefore we have no problem, and the Gemara doesn't raise the problem in the Bavli of Dal and Amos B'Shuram. Okay,
there is a difference, though, in conceptually between Kluta Kamisha Uncha and somebody who's going putting his step. Kluta is a case of Zurich.
Yeah, only by definition.
So if you throw something across from a thing through Rosh Hashanah, it's going to end up another Rosh Hashanah. I think that's a
correct
single case.
Correct. That's what we
if
said.
You take a photograph, it's a second, you see, it's at this moment, it's in that Rosh Hashanah. But the general thing, if somebody's carrying something, it's not really a rishus, it's on the person on the rishus. So the person's intervention has...
Maybe that makes it into a kind of a hefsek. It's not on the karka itself.
That's why the question is it when the hand puts it down, or is it when the foot, which is part of the...
Oh yeah, the Gemara has a suffix also about akiris gufo, kakiris chefetz, and anochas gufo, and anochas
gufo.
Yodikar abamis, and yodlonayat, and all those
things. I remember them.
Okay, so look, Rabbos, I just wanted to fit this in, and let's start a whole new topic for today. If you have the photocopies, what I want you to look at is Kuf Nun and Kuf Nun Aleph. This introduces, I think, a very fascinating Derech HaLimud. We touched on it in the past, but I don't think we ever really hit it head on, as we would say. The question is like this. Very often, we find in halacha a conflict between two principles. And one principle is going to override the other principle, right? If I could use the word to trump, right? So principle number A, will trump principle number B. So let's say, for example, you have what's called a chiyuv mitzvah. But then you have another principle that contradicts that, and that's called Osek B'Mitzvah. So you have Mitzvah A, and you've already picked up Mitzvah A, and now you have a Chiyuv of Mitzvah B. That's a head-on collision. That's Shnei Moksa V'Talos. You know, they're both demanding that he fulfill the Mitzvah. The Mitzvah number one says, you pick me up, finish me. The Mitzvah number two says, you're obligated to fulfill me. So what do you do in this case?
Assume both are sayings, or
let's assume both are sayings. You know, we have a case of, let's say, Hashavas Aveda, and I have a case of Tztaka. So while I'm being involved in Hashavas Aveda, the Oni comes and knocks on my door. It's the famous Sugya Pruta of Rabbi Yosef. That's called Osek B'Mitzvah Potev in a Mitzvah. Now, what does that mean, Potev in a Mitzvah? There are two ways of understanding Potter Min HaMitzvah. One way is to say that once I decide which principle trumps which, in this case, Osek Mitzvah trumps the other Chiyuv because it came first, then that second Mitzvah is completely gone. There is no obligation, I don't have to worry about it, and so forth and so on. The other way of saying it is no. In truth, I'm obligated in the second obligation. But as a, if I could use the term modus vivendi, in other words, in a practical sense, I have to know what to do in this case. You can't tell me, well, I'm chayiv in the second mitzvah, unless you want to tell me, drop the first mitzvah. You're not willing to tell me drop the first mitzvah. But what you're saying to me is put the second mitzvah on a hold. In other words, you're delaying fulfilling the second mitzvah. But the chiyuv is there. I'll give you an afkamin again. We're going to get into more details. But just in very, very theoretical terms, if let's say the first mitzvah for some reason becomes impossible, so at that point, do you have to pick up the second mitzvah? Or do we say, no, that chiyuv was never chal to begin with? Or I'll give you another example. We have a case called, a concept called tashlumin, which means that if you are obligated in a certain mitzvah and you weren't able to fulfill it in its time, then you're obligated to try to make up for it at another time. Let's say in tefillah we have tashlumin, in karbanos there's tashlumin. So what would be in a case where osek b'mitzvah potim in a mitzvah? Or for example, the Gemara says that an onen, insofar as he has mesa mutu lefanav, he's potim in a mitzvah. What are we saying over here? Are we saying that there's no second chiyuv at all? It doesn't get off the ground? Or are we saying it is a chiyuv, but he has to give first, you know, first primary attention to the to the mitzvah that's at hand?
Is the question of any parallel to Hutra v'Dechuya?
Very similar to Hutra v'Dechuya. Very, very similar. You're 100% on the mark. He points it out himself. Now, if I was obligated in the second chiyuv, then you could talk about Tashlumin. Meaning, I couldn't fulfill it because osik b'mitzvah potim in a mitzvah, but the mitzvah is there, you know, it's like an albatross around my head, it's hovering over my head, and now that I have a possibility of tashlumin, I have to fulfill tashlumin. But every chiyuv tashlumin is predicated on the fact that I had a chiyuv to begin with. If I'm going to take the most extreme view, that osik b'mitzvah potim in a mitzvah means potter in a sense is a hafkas, a chiyuv, that the p'tur here means that I wasn't chayav at all, then there's no need for tashlumin. And one of the issues we're going to get into is, let's say, an onen on Motzi Shabbos, who buried his dead, let's say, on Sunday morning, is he obligated to make up for the tefillos that he missed on Motzi Shabbos? And that's called tashlumin l'tefillah. Does he have to make up for avdolah that he missed because of tashlumin for avdolah? Or do we say no? But the onen is not chayiv in all those mitzvahs. So there's no tashlumin if I was never chayiv to begin. Are you getting the gist of it?
Yeah.
Again, without getting into details, because that's what I want to flesh out with you, a couple of different sugyas, but just in abstract terms, he doesn't use the terminology that I'd like to use. I'd like to use the following terminology. Is it nullification or is it temporary suspension? Again, that just, if that means anything to anybody here, then take it. If it doesn't, just leave it out.
Yeah,
he calls it bitul otolui va'omid. Right. Okay then. So he says the following. He says we have a principle called ein nishboim l'kayimis ha-mitzvah. This is on the bottom right of your page Kuf Nun. And a person took a shvua shelo lechol nevela. His shvua is not chal. Why? Because the Torah already enjoined him from eating the nevela. He's just repeating what he got at Har Sinai. Now, what should we say about this? We could say A or we could say B. We could say A, that the Shvuah doesn't get off the ground. It's completely void. Or we could say, no, it is a Shvuah, but it's in temporary suspension. And an afkamina might be, what happens if he violates the shvuah? In other words, is he chayiv number one for eating the vela, and number two for violating the shvuah? Do we say, no, the shvuah never got off the ground? So he has here a machlokas between the shach and the prima gadol. And this you'll see on the left column. What happens? The shach says, if you take a look in your idea, that Misha Nishba Shalom Lechel Nevelos, he took a shvur that he won't eat Nevela, and then he became Chola. Now he has to eat the Nevela because he's a Chola. Should he now be Matir his Neder, his shvur, and say, you know, say to the three members of the Tribunal, had I known that I would have to eat this Nevela, I would never have taken the shvur? Or do we say, no, he doesn't have to bother with that, because he's not chayim in the shvuah. The shvuah is not binding at all. Lo chala hashvuah is the language of the shach. But the Prima Gadim disagrees, and the Prima Gadim says that Zeh Lashon HaChashach. Oh, the Shach is, I'm sorry, the Shach we saw, the Prima Gadim, is on line number 3. And that's Olav Levakesh HaTorah HaShvua. And the Prima Gadim quotes the Shach and disagrees with the Shach. The Shach says, Lo Chala HaShvua. And therefore he doesn't need to be Mevakesh HaTorah. And the Prima Gadim himself disagrees with the Shach and says, no, he has to be Mevakesh HaTorah. So what's the machlokas about? If we're going to say that the principle of Ein Nishbon al Mitzvahs nullifies the Shvuah, then there's no need to be matir the Shvuah. If on the other hand, we're going to say that no, it suspends the Shvuah, and in fact the Shvuah is mitlet tolu, as he calls it, toli viome, it is hovering over him, then he should get rid of that Shvuah by being matir it. If you accept the first definition, that there's an absolute beetle, we call it nullification, it undermines completely the chiyuv, it's gone, then you accept the shach, lo chal ha-shvuah, there's no need, there's no point in being matir the shvuah. Ein kam b'chal shvuah, fine. Me'idach, however, if you accept the prima gadim, then ha-shvuah kayemes b'koach. The Shvuah was Tluya V'Omedes. Why? Because he has the mitzvah itself of Lo Sochel Kol Nevela. However, if now he's going to violate this Isur because he's a Choleh, then you can no longer say that, well, the Isur of Lo Sochel Nevela is preventing the Shvuah from being Chal, because for this gentleman, who's unfortunately quite ill, there is no Isur of eating Nevela. Is Memela, I should say now the Shvuah is Chal. But the Shach is going to claim the Shvuah can't be Chal because it wasn't Chal from the get-go. There was no Chalos at all. It never got off the ground. So even though now you'll say, well, I removed the Isur in the Veil because he's a Chola, therefore the Shvuah should be Chal. No. According to the Shach, the Shvuah was never Chal to begin with. So it's not going to pop up Yesh Me'ayin. Masha'en came to the Prima Gadim, despite the fact that Ein Nishbon al Mitzvahs, the other Shvuah is Chal. What does it mean it's chal? It's chal in a, what word am I looking for, in a potential state. You know, it's waiting to jump out at the from the shadows if and when the original Issa Nevela is removed. So it wasn't that the Shvuah was completely null and void. It was not a Maisa Shvuah, it was not a Chalos Shvuah. Everything was there according to the Prima Gadim, just that the Shvuah is not binding because he already has an Issa Nevela even without the Shvuah. If I would remove the Issa Nevela, then Enoch Inami, the Shvuah would be Chal.
Right, and it's enough to be enough Kamina whether he ate it.
Right, what punishment would he get?
As a Chola, or he ate it as a. Or where he ate it B'mezid.
Yeah, let's assume that he ate what he had to eat as a Chola, and now he's perfectly healthy, and he goes ahead and he eats the Nevela again. So now, does he violate the Issa Nevela in addition to the Issa Shvuah, or the Issa Shvuah is not Chal? Since the moment he took the Shvuah, he was enjoined from eating the Nevela, it's Ein Nishbon al Mitzvahs, therefore the Shvuah never got off the ground, according to the Shach. Masha'enkin, according to the Prima Gadim, the Shvuah is there in potential, it's lurking in the shadows, waiting for the moment that it can be Chal, as soon as you remove the lava of the Torah. And when he's a Chola, we remove the lava of the Torah. And therefore the Shvuah can be Chal. So this reminds me a little of something that we discussed earlier today. Could you have such a thing as a Melech Hazriah? Yeah. That's totally the omen. You know, we're going to have to see if the Otzitz Nakuv will spill out in mushroom in such a way that now some of the Olim will be growing from the Karak itself, and therefore he'd be Chai for Hazriah. So the Leital came up with this very strange kind of definition that we don't know the nature of this Maisis Ria. Is it a Maisis Ria? Is it not? And only with Mafreya will we know whether it was a Maisis Ria. Here also, at the time that he took the Shvuah, we don't know whether the Shvuah will be Chal or not. We'll only find out later, after he becomes a Chola, that the Shvuah would be Chal.
Right, but again, the difference would be, I think the difference would be, if he was a Chola, and he ate it, and he ate it without being made for his nether, so he'd be chayev, whatever it is.
He's a chola or he's not a chola? I got confused.
He is a chola.
So why would he be chayev?
Because he was nishpa that he wouldn't eat the nevela, and he wasn't matzah then.
No, he doesn't.
No.
Alan, he doesn't have to be marked to the Shmuel as long as he's a chola. That's for sure he doesn't have to be marked.
Saying, and we're assuming that he accepts the same rules as the Torah has for a nevela, when you can eat it, when you can't eat it.
Right, so if he's a chola, he can eat this nevela, and the same thing would apply to Nisa Shmuel.
Because I assumed he meant that Hechlet, he wouldn't eat nevela.
Right.
The Hechlet, he wouldn't eat nevela, he'd be over on those failed on Baro.
Right, no, I'm saying, if he's a chola, but what happens, that's what I'm curious about, if he's no longer a chola. Baruch Hashem, he got healthy, he had a good geshmak, a piece of nevela, now he's the healthiest guy around. What happened to his shvua? One way of saying it, the shvua dissipates into thin air, because at the time that he took his shvua, the shvua couldn't be chal.
Well, that's the difference. Yeah.
But now, the other way of saying it is that, no, even though the shvua wasn't chal, it was somehow suspended in midair, waiting for the moment that it could be chal.
Which is after he's
if he gets healthy, right. So there's nothing preventing that shvur from being chal.
Okay.
All right. Now we go on to page Kufnun Aleph, another example of this chakira. We have a principle called Yesh Koch Biad Chachomim Lakar Dov Venator B'Shei V'Altas V'Napukum V'Asei Asugi Nivomus. And we can talk about, for example, the case of Kelayim V'Tzitzis. He has a Beged that's made of Pishton, and on a Doraisa level, for sure, he could put on Tzitzis if it's four cornered, and that Tzitzis is made of Tzemer. But the Torah was Matir Kelayim V'Tzitzis. However, we have to ask ourselves the following question. When the Torah was marked in Kalayim B'Tzitzis, is it only during the day or even at night? What do I mean? During the day, you're Chayav in Tzitzis. So that mitzvah now trumps the Avera of Shatnes. And that's the Torah says, G'dilum Tasa L'cha Afilu Mina Kalayim. However, at night, let's assume, he's part of the mitzvah of Tzitzis. Not everybody would agree with that, but let's assume, correct?
Yeah.
So now, when he wears the beged that has shatnez in it, there's nothing to counter or trump the avera of kelayim, because he doesn't have a mitzvah of tzitzis at night.
Is that true for Kohen also, who's wearing the gadim when he's not doing
it? I assume so. Well, that's machlokes Raman Rav and Shalom B'Shas Avod. But let's focus for a minute on tzitzis, because I'll tell you something fascinating about tzitzis. The Rabbanan said that if you wear a beged shel pishtan, don't put on tzitzis. What do you mean don't put on tzitzis? It's got dalet amos. The Torah says I have to put dalet knofos. Torah says I have to put on tzitzis. Yesh koch biad chachomim. Why would the chachom make such a takana? Because they're afraid that you're going to wear this beged with tzitzis of tzemer
balayla.
So what they did was they said don't put on tzitzis at all. Instead of telling a person, well, the Torah says you have to wear tzitzis, and therefore go ahead and put on tzitzis, but make sure to take off the beged when the sun sets, because for Lila you have no bits of tzitzis. What they did was they just completely wiped this off, and they said, you know what? A beged shel pishtan, even though it has dalet kanfis, is potter from tzitzis. And the Gemara clears back and forth, is that called shevi altaseh, or is that kubaseh? Meaning, when he wears the beged, is that called an active violation of the Torah's mitzvah of tzitzis, and therefore it's for kubaseh, the Rabbanan can't do such a thing? Or do we say it's shevi altaseh?
Isn't that mitzvah of the Rabbanan to wear tzitzis? Because in the Torah, there's no chiv to wear tzitzis.
When at Lila?
No, in daytime. We don't like to wear tzitzis because we're the Rabban, that we should wear.
That's only a kiyum, it's not.
Wait, what are we talking about? I lost you on this. What's the case? I'm sorry.
There's no chiyum in the Torah to wear a beggar with tzitzis.
Oh, I see.
That
we took it upon ourselves.
It's a Rabban.
It's a kiyum.
Right. But so okay, so
it's
now
it's not really shy, but I'm saying it's okay. Parallels.
Okay, so let's see what goes on here. So again, Rabbanan is saying that this beged shel pishtan is part of minat tzitzis even by day, because we're afraid you wear it at night. Okay. So midoraisa, he's allowed to wear shatnes b'tzitzis, but the Rabbanan are afraid because of lila. So they potted him up from tzitzis. Because balayla, if he wears the shatnez, that's called kelayim shelo b'makom mitzvah. He says, bizman hazeh, bitlu chiyuv tzitzis da'oraisa b'beged shel arba kanfis. I think he means in the case of Pishton, if I understand correctly. So they completely removed the chiyuv tzitzis. Yesh lachkar. Ha'im nekra legamri mitzvah tzitzis b'beged zeh. Even though it has four kanfos. Oh, din ha-Torah b'mekomo omed, el she'en chiyuv l'kaimo. When the Rabbanan said, don't put tzitzis on this beged, are they saying there's no chiyuv tzitzis at all? And that koach the Rabbanan have? Or are they saying, no, there is a chiyuv, but don't be mekayim that chiyuv? Now, right now, at this point, it's very abstract. But let's see if we can flesh it out with some nafkaminas.
What is a sheval tasa?
Why isn't putting on the beged itself a kumbas?
We talk about the lav, the little bash kilayim.
Yeah, that's definitely the kumbas say, no question about it. But it's only going to be a lav of kilayim if he puts on the tzitzis, right? Because the beged itself is pished on. There's no. So the Rabbanan said, don't even dream of tzitzis, because if you're going to dream of tzitzis, what's going to be at night? Okay, so far, everything's good so far, but now, at this point, we want to analyze, what did the Rabbanan do over here? Are they able to say that the chiyuv tzitzis is completely null and void, because again, it's a shevi al taseh? Again, why is a shevi al taseh is a very complicated issue unto itself. I mean, that depends on what's the mitzvah. So if it's wearing the beged with dalet kanfos, or once you have the beged on your body, you have to put on dalet. So let's assume the latter. So in any event, it's shevi alta. So that the Rabbanan could do. But what did they mean to do? Did they mean to undermine and completely nullify the mitzvah? There is no chiyuv in this case, and that they could do because it's shevi alta. So they say, no, there is a chiyuv. The din Torah that's mechayiv you to wear tzitzis because it's got four kanfos still applies, but don't fulfill that chiyuv. You understand what I mean? It's only, I call it suspended animation. It's a temporary suspension. And he wants to say that Rebbe Chanan in Kovetz Ha'aris came to a definite conclusion on this. Again, the whole sugya here that we're talking about, Yesh Koach Be'Acham, is in Masechta Yevamos. And Rebbe Chanan wrote a sefer on Masechta Yevamos called Kovetz Ha'aris. If I'm not mistaken, the Kovetz Shiurim, I never got a chance to really clarify this, but I don't think it was written by Rebbe Chanan. I think it was written by the Talmid, based on his Shiurim. Does anybody know anything about that? Okay, but Kovetz Ha'aris, I'm 99% sure that Rebbe Chanan wrote it. And Rebbe Chanan wants to offer two understandings of two logical approaches to answer the question, why is it different in Shevi Altas and then in Kuvase? Again, Yesh Koch Biat Chacham Lakar Dovin HaTorah B'Shevi Altas. But Ein Koch Biat Chacham Lakar Dovin HaTorah B'Kuvase. So they can't tell you to violate an Iser actively. They can only tell you to leave out something. And Rebbe Chanan wants to offer two different approaches to justify this distinction. The first approach is, he says that the avera that's bekumvase is an avera chamura relative to shevi altase. In other words, you could have two lavim, or two esim, or an esim and a lav, and you might say, well, everything's equal, but they're not equal. If one of them is bekumvase, and the other is b'shevi altase. Now, if we're going to assume that the chachamim are oker the chiyuv Meikaro, remember that word I used, nullification, he calls it beetle, then, if I'm not mistaken here, this whole distinction between chomer and not chomer is irrelevant, because there is no mitzvah at all. If the Rabbanan have the power to suspend this mitzvah, so what are you going to tell me? But this mitzvah is more chomer? What do you mean it's more chomer? We're undermining the mitzvah. He sarach lefari shekumva say, who dover chomer v'yen koch v'yad chachomim la'akro v'shei v'yal taseinu chomer kol kach v'yesh b'yodom la'akro l'fi atzal hazeh achilu tolib madregas chumras ha'isur. I'm not sure what he means here. I would have said just the opposite, that if we're saying that the Chachamim have the koach to completely null and void, completely neutralize the very chiyuv, then what's the difference between kuvasei and shevialta? So the chiyuv is gone. Let me see if I can read the next line. Maybe that'll clarify. Aval lefi atzad hasheni shedina tovim kamo omein gam liachar kiris chacham tzach lefar shachiyu p'derech hacheres mitzad echad dina tovim makom omein ulamatzod yesh gam mitzvah lishmo b'divri chachamim she'osru kiyum ha dina Torah. V'lachein kishiyesh shnei dinim asosrin tzeze dina tovim din chachamim odif lo lasos shum dovar. So if I understand correctly, the second side is to say that there, again, if the first side is nullification, just one second, if the first side is nullification, beautiful, I think it works out. Tell me, Rav Osa, if my mathematics is correct. If we're going to apply nullification, then it's really going to be a challenge, and we'll come back to this challenge later, to figure out why are you distinguishing between kuvasei and shevi altas if the mitzvah is gone, you know, if there's no mitzvah. Let's say, for example, in the case of a beged shel pishta, if you're going to argue that there is no chiyuv of tzitzis, so what difference does it make whether or not I'm putting on the beged without tzitzios, or whether I just simply don't wear the beged, or whatever it might be. All those distinctions fall by the wayside. But if, on the other hand, I assume that no, the chachamim did not completely nullify when they're okay a mitzvah, the mitzvah itself, the mitzvah still exists, but it's just in suspended animation, as we said before, then you have the following situation. The Torah is telling me to do the mitzvah. The Chachamim are telling me not to do the mitzvah. So what do I do in such a case? Obviously the Chachamim are authorized by the Torah. I mean, that goes without saying.
Yeah, but if you do the mitzvah according to the Torah, you'll be over.
You'll be over divrei chacham. Correct? So now I'm in a quandary. Who do I give preference to? And since the Torah itself authorized the chachamim, then it's almost as if the Torah is speaking out of two mouths. You know, in one mouth the Torah is saying, where the tzitzis? It's a beged shel dalet kanfus. And in the other mouth the Torah is saying, oblige the chachamim and don't put on tzitzis. So what should a person do? So Rav Elchanan comes up with a fantastical idea. Do nothing. You can't make the decision actively which is more important. Shevi al tasa. So again, if we're justifying the difference between kuvasei and shevi al tasa, between active and passive, it would only make sense if we're assuming that the din Torah still remains in place as a chiyuv. The Rabbanan are adding another chiyuv to contradict that chiyuv, and in this collision, we should reconcile it by saying do nothing. But if you would actively do something, then you're choosing one over the other. Whether you choose the din Torah, or you choose the din of chachamim, that you don't have the power to do.
Do nothing meaning what?
Just be passive. In other words, again,
don't wear out canvas on though.
What do you say?
Don't wear out canvas.
Well, what do you mean? Don't wear the beged.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good point. I didn't work out that detail. No, it's an important detail, but again, I'm just trying to get the conceptual structure here. What we're saying is that according to Rav Elchanan, when the Gemara makes a difference between kuvasei and shevi al tasei, it has nothing to do with the chumas avera, says Rav Elchanan. The difference between shevi al tasei and kuvasei is simply a matter of what you should do when you don't know what to do. And the best thing to do when you don't know what to do is not to do anything. It has nothing to do with chumras avera. If, on the other hand, you're going to tell me that when the chachamim institute whatever they institute, they could be oker the mitzvah completely, then the whole distinction here makes no sense. Because what are you going to tell me? Chumras avera? Oh, so what you're going to have to say is the following, I think. This is what I want to get back to this point. I don't know if he's saying this, I can't tell you. That there are two different types of mitzvahs. There are mitzvahs that I can fulfill actively, and there are mitzvahs that I can fulfill passively. Or in losa says, there's a losa set that I violate actively, and a losa set that I violate passively. which one is more chamor? The one that's active in the case of a losas. Therefore, the Rabbanon have the authority to contradict, so to speak, laka or davar min haTorah in the case of an avera kala, but not an avera chamura. What's an avera kala? A shevi al taseh kala. But Rabbi Chanan is saying that that's not what we're saying here. The Gemara is not saying that the difference between this avera and that avera is because one is more chamor than the other. What the Gemara is saying is that you're in a quandary, you're in a collision, you don't know what to do. And either way you go, you're in trouble because of the other one. Because there's a head-on collision between the Din Torah and the Din Chachamim. So Rabbi Chanan says, in such a case, you do nothing. Do you remember, Alan, where did you see this? Do nothing. Because I remember you and Yechiel were spending a lot of time, if I remember correctly, on the first Reb Chaim. In Sefer, no?
Right, that's right.
So the Gemara says, what do you do in a case of what's called Karka Ola, where he puts a gun to our head and have us submit to Arias or knock a block off? So what do you do? So the Gemara says, Karka Ola. So Reb Chaim says, you know what Karka Ola means? Do nothing. Be totally passive. You can't choose one or the other. You can't say that your life is more important than the Arias, than the Averis Arias. You can't decide that the Arias is more important than your life, and basically it's stay mitzvah shkula zuitzu. Your nefesh is shkula, connected to the avera. So you know what you do? Do nothing. That's what Reb Chaim presents as a possibility. Later on, Reb Chaim changes his mind, but that was Reb Chaim's original position. Yeah, so Reb Chanan, who's a Talmud of Reb Chaim, right, he says that the Shevi Altaseh of Yesh Koch Biad Chacham is identical. The Din Doraisa remains in place. Now the Rabbanan wanted to tell you, don't fulfill the Din Doraisa, you're in a conflict situation. So what do you do in that case? Do nothing. That's called Shevi Alta. When you can't choose one or the other, you should be passive.
But by being passive, you are choosing one of the
doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That choice you can make. Why? Because it's not a decision. You know, you didn't deliberate. You weren't deliberate and said, you know, I'm going to take a position on this. I'm going to say that this is more important than that. You just let nature take its course. That's called Shevi Altas. So when the Chachamim are Oker Dov Min HaTorah, they're not really being Oker Dov Min HaTorah, says Rabbi Chanan. The Din Torah remains in place. But on the other hand, the Torah invested authority in the Chacham. The Chacham is saying, don't do what the Torah tells you. So how does that work? Shevi Altas. So it's not a Din in Chumras Avera. Okay? That's pretty fascinating. The only part I don't understand is he says the like Lefi Atzad B'Chakir Sen Shachacham Okrim Din Do Raisame Koro, which I understood meant nullification. Is Tzorach Lefai Shekum Vaseh Udover Chamur the Ein Koch B'Yodim La'akro. I think he means the Avera is an Avera Chamur. I don't know. Very unclear. Now he has a different Rebbe Chanan. Okay. Now Rebbe Chanan says, "Be'inyan apir shel kumva se v'shevi altaser, ha'im akumva se tolui begufa isur o be'ofen sha'avar la isur." Aha. Now, how do we classify an avera as kumvase? Do we say that in pure abstract terms it's kumvase, or do we look at the way he's violating it? For example, the Torah has a losas that you're not going to go into the Azor without a carbon, correct? So on the one end, you might say that the Iser itself is called Shevi Altas, and the Torah is telling you that by not bringing a carbon, you violate this Iser. Right? So the Avera, the Lotus says, Masha Eino Mevi Carbon. That's called Shevi Altas. But on the other hand, Rabbi Chanan says, maybe what we do is we look and see how you violated this Iser of non-action, of Eino Mevi Carbon. The answer is because he went into the Azar. And since he went into the Azor, that's the Ofen, that's the mechanics, or the conduit, by which he violates the Losas of Lotir Pane Rekam B'Shevi Altas. So it was a Kumvase, as far as the Ofen Havera, but as far as the Lav itself, it's a Lav B'Shevi Altas.
How could what would it's not a rabbanan derabbanan and deraisa? What if it's two deraisas?
Yeah.
Okay.
So two deraisas for sure. That's posh that you would be shevi altas.
Yeah, but how do you
two violations? You mean.
Yeah, but how do you accomplish a shevi altas? For instance, let's go back to the Kohen again. The Kohen is where his Bartlis is shatnes. Okay, and it's also b'shatnes. But what the begotten has to wear.
Right. So once he puts on the beggar, he puts on the beggar, that's already kumbas.
Yes.
But what if the Torah would tell him not to put it on, and yet the Torah told him to put it on? What would you do in that case?
Right.
So the Torah authorized the Chachamim to say, "Don't put tzitzis on this beggar, because the beggar shall pishtam." The Torah says, "Put on the beggar with the dalad." With the tzitzis shel tzemer.
Right.
What should I do? So Rav Chanan says, do nothing. That's what it means to say yesh kach v'yad chachamim lacher dover ha-tor
v'kumas. So what he's saying is they're not really being ma'akir.
Correct.
What they're doing, they're just telling you.
They're giving you a
situation where you have your
right. They're giving you a snake suva machishes. So they're creating a counterforce against the Torah's mandate. Mm-hmm. So you do nothing. That's Rav Chanan's chiddush.
Yeah, that's nice. Huh?
It's a very interesting chat, but I think it's really similar to what Rav Chaim said about the Karka Olam. But now we have to go the other way around. Now what happens if we assume that Yesh Koch B'Yad Chachom means to nullify? If it's to nullify, then who cares if the Avera is Bekum Vaseh? It should be totally irrelevant, because there is no Avera over here. The Rabbanu were empowered to completely nullify the Avera, wipe it out. But the answer is they can't wipe out a kumvase.
Yeah.
Then you have to say something different. That an aver of a kumvase is more chamur than an aver of a shai v'al. To say the rabbanu were only authorized by the Torah to be oker a davar that's relatively kal compared to something that's kumvase. So shevi alta says relatively kal vis-a-vis an aver chamur of a kumvase. And the Rabbanan got only a limited amount of power. Once they were granted that power, and if you're talking about an Aver B'Shevi Altaser, then that Aver is completely gone, according to this Shafi. Then we have a second question, and now we want to see how that ties into the first question, and that is, when I violate a lav, B'Maisa, right, B'Kumvase, but the lav itself is b'shevi altas. So that's the case of Panay Rekom. The lav itself is b'shevi altas. But how did I get there? I actively entered into the Azor. So there's a kumvase over here. So Rav Chanan doesn't know how we would classify this. And he's choker v'dorish. On the one hand, I might classify it as a kumvase because he has to walk into the Azor actively. On the other hand, I might call it a shevi altase because the aver itself is when he's in the Azor without a carbon. His absence, his omission of bringing a carbon is the aver. So Rav Chanan goes back and forth on this. And he says the following. The hachakira tluya bezu. Im nomer shal yidea ki rosam. Ah, this is interesting, Rabosa. What would you say about the following? Could the Rabbanon make a takana that you go into the Azor without a karma? Would that be a kumvase or shevi altase? From the perspective of the aver gufa, it's shevi altase, because the aver itself is passive.
Yeah.
But from the perspective of the ofen avera, how do you get to violate the aver? It's kumvase. He says that this depends on im nomar shal yidea ki rosam nekar din haTorah legamre. So if the farish tamachiyuk shben kumvase shevi altase mibnei chomer havera, which I think is what we said before. I hope the kumvase udomer chomer v'ein kol chachom lakor, but shevi altase einu chomer kol kach v'yesh kol v'yodom lakor u'memelet tzarch lomish adover toli begufa iser atzmo. Oh wow. Why is that so? Why is that Gufa Easter Atzmo? Ah, beautiful. Because now what we're doing is we're classifying Averis. There's an Avera Kala and an Avera Chamura. An Avera B'Shevi Alta says, an Avera Kala and an Avera B'Kumvase. If you're classifying Averos, then Losiru Panay Rekom is by definition an avera power because it's v'shevi al taser. Again, if you focus on the gufa avera, don't ask me how I get physically, you know, in the material world, how do I get to violate that avera? Just ask me about the avera per se. If I isolate the avera is b'shevi al taser, and therefore the chachamim could tell you to go into the azara with yodai reka. Okay, that's number one. Now I'm waiting for the second side. Just 1 second. Fine. So it's totally the gufa yisur atzmo. That's what we got. Oh, avol im nomar. This is where we're up to. Avol im nomar shebe emes din haTorah bitzar atzmo lo nekar klal. Let's go with the other approach to yesh kof yad chachom, which means that you still have the isur Torah. And you eat the rabbanon and do nothing, right? Is then yesh lanu gam kein olim, right? He says kevin sheshnei adinim elu sosrim zedzem and meil shevi al taser odiv the lav bekula the chumra talyim milsa. This has no impact, no reflection of the classification as the avera as either being more chomer or being less chomer. The kachu adin b'chol makom sheshein dvarim sosrim zedzeh tzorich lios b'shevi al taser. Ulefi zelo ichpas li v'gufa iser. Ah, if what we're saying is that you have to be passive and do nothing, then you're not allowed to enter into the azara. Now we come back to your question, Daniel, from before. Don't I have to wear the beged that's pished on in order to ignore the chiyuv of putting tzitzis on it, which the tzitzat semer. So that would depend upon this chakira. If we're going to say that it's all a question of what? Of being shevi altas, and then you can't do it because you're not being shevi altas. You follow me? If you go on with Rebbe Chanan's contradiction, you know, shnei k'suma machishim tzitzah, that the Rabbanan is saying to do it, and the Chacham says, and the Torah says not to do it, the other way around, right, whatever it is. So in that collision, just be passive. Well, that doesn't give you a license to go ahead and wear this beged. Because then you're actively choosing the din de Rabbanan and violating the chiyuv of the Torah to put on tzitzis. But if on the other hand, the difference between kuvva seh and shevi al taser is in the gufa avera, and the question is, do the Rabbanan have the authority to neutralize the din Torah? And the answer is, depends whether it's kuvva seh and shevi al taser. Then in the case of tzitzis and shevi al taser, right? Because it's irrelevant if you're putting on the tzitzis. Now it becomes like the case of panai reikam. It's irrelevant that you're walking actively into the azor. All we care about is the way in which you violate the iser. And that way is b'shevi al taser. So once you put on the beged, how do you violate the din Torah? By the absence, the omission of putting tzitzis on. So if it's the omission of putting tzitzis on, then I don't care. It's irrelevant if you put the beged on. So basically, whether or not you'd be allowed to put the beged on, in this case of Pishtan, would depend upon this chakira. If we're saying that the Rabbanon have the power just to put you in a quandary, and now you're in a shnei suva machishin zedzeh, and therefore you have to be shevi alta, so that you have no right to put the beged on. But if we're asking about the guf ha-vero, the guf ha-chiyuv, and we want to know if the Rabbanon have the right to be okurit legamre, completely neutralize it and undermine it, then it depends on the avera gufa. In this case, the avera gufa, by definition, is b'shevi alta, and the Rabbanon are authorized to be okay.
So what do you do when you either way?
Right. So I'm not sure if Rebbe Chanan, honestly, I don't know if he comes to any definite conclusion, if that's what you're asking me.
Yeah.
Write me an email. I have to do more research on that.
Is this concept not related to Hefka Bez and Hefka? The Kefla Bez, or is there different we discussed this many months ago in some of this subject.
Yeah, you mean chiyuvi or shliwi? Is that what you mean?
I can't remember.
That's what we discussed. In other words, when Besen says something is hefker, they're not giving you a kinyan on it. They're just removing someone's kinyan. You remember that Rabbi Amiel in his Sefer Midot, he made a gigantic business about that. He said, hefker, Besen, hefker doesn't give Besen rights to transfer ownership so that you can acquire ownership. It just has rights to remove your ownership.
That's almost like a Shevaltas as a Besen reverse.
Absolutely. But here, Daniel, you see, you're right that there's no question that Shevi Altas and Kubase is very, very relevant to what we're discussing. But that's not really the kishkis of what we're discussing. It sort of comes in through the back door. What we're really discussing is what happened to the Din Torah. The Din that the Torah requires you X, in this case, to wear tzitzis on the Begin of Pishtan. What happened? What's the geshen? There are two ways of answering that question. One way is to say that the Rabbanan have the power to completely undermine and neutralize that mitzvah, that chovah. It evaporates into thin air.
Because of a possibility.
Why does it evaporate into thin air? Because the Rabbanan said so. What motivated the Rabbanan? They were afraid, blah, blah, blah. You wear it at night and the whole nine yards. Correct? The other way of saying it is that no, the Rabbanan don't have the power to undermine the total law. They can put you into a quandary. So again, the Shevi Al Taseh versus Kuvaseh is definitely relevant to our sugya, because that's the whole sugya in Yevamos and Daf Tzadi. The Gemara says that Yesh Kof Yad Chachov B'Shevi Al Taseh but not B'Kuvaseh. In fact, if you'd ask me where in Shas Talmud Bavli do I find the source for this Chakira between Kuvaseh and Shevi Al Taseh, it's right here in Yevamos. But that's not what we're discussing today. What we're discussing today is, what are the Rabbanan doing with the Din Torah? Are they leaving it as it is, and it's suspended, and they're saying, B'Shevi Al Taseh, or are they saying, no, we're going to completely undermine and neutralize that Din Torah, and it doesn't exist.
Right.
That's this Chakir. So we only have a few minutes left. I just wanted to, you know, make a note that we have to finish this, but I'm very excited about the next piece, which is called Ptur Onus. Now, how would you say it in the case of an onus? I can't fulfill a chiyuv. Is the mitzvah there, just that I can't fulfill it? Or are we saying that the chiyuv is not chal? Oh, so patre sounds as if like the chiyuv is there. And this is going to be a gigantic machlokas, he says on page Kuf Nun Gimel, between the Taz and, oh yeah, I forgot, and the Drisha. That was a close one. The Taz and the Drisha. Here's the deal. As I said before, a person is potter from tefillah. Is he chayav in the midst of tashlum? What are the cases? There are two cases. One case is the onen. An onen is potter from all the mitzvahs. And now you want to know if he's chayav in tefillah's tashlum in the next morning. And the other case is what's called osek b'tzarchei tzibur. In other words, if you're the representative of the entire tzibur and there's some sort of major, you know, crisis situation, you got to take care of that. What happens when the crisis is solved? That's a bracha for our prime minister, if the crisis will be solved. A tefillah. Do you now become chayv in tashlum? So this you'll see in the Taz. The Taz is in Orachaim Simon Kuf Ches, which you'll see on the right column on page Kuf Nun Gimel, if you're looking inside. And there's a halacha in Hilchus Avelus in Yoredeya, that an onen the next morning does not have to daven a tefillas tashlumin. So the Drisha wants to extend this and apply it to the case of Misasek B'Tzarchei Tzibur, that just like an onen doesn't have a tefillas tashlumin, so too an Osek B'Tzarchei Tzibur is not chayav a tefillas tashlumin. And the Taz disagrees ballistically. You know, he gets very angry at this Drisha. And he says the following, that the Drisha has no justification whatsoever. In the case of an Onein is potter for tefillah, period. He's potter. There's no chiyuv tefillah incumbent upon an Onein. His chiyuv is kvuras ames. That's all he's singularly dedicated to. But in the case of Osek B'Tzarchei Tzibur, he's chayav in tefillah. Just that he can't implement that chiyuv right now. He's too busy being misasik b'tzorkei tzibur. But you can't say that he's not chayim in tefillah. And therefore, he's going to be chayim in tashlum in the very moment that he gets a chance. So if you take a look on the left column, there's a paragraph that starts with nireh, shataz sover, sha'ones, you know, this mitigating circumstance, like an osik b'tzorkei tzibur, adayin nikra bar chiyuva. His status as a person has not changed. He's chayiv in all mitzvahs. That's called onus. El she'enu yochel chaimo. He can't be mekayim and he can't implement. Lachain. Nenas velo is palil. For example, the case of Oseg b'tzorkei tzibur. Chayiv is palil b'zman ha'tfila b'toris tashlumin. Achol pi. She'oseg b'mitzvah potim in a mitzvah. And he was onus. Masha'enke, he says that im hayo potu legamre is what I call nullification, not a temporary blockage, and you know, implement this and leave this because you can't do both at the same time, but rather the other chiyuv is completely nekar. That's the case of an onen. And why is an onen potu mitashlume? Because he's potu legamre. Again, if it was up to me, I would add a few words here, but I don't know. I can't. It's hard to add to the taz. You know, I would say it's afkos gavra, that the gavra is not a bar chiyuva. There's something called an onen. An onen is a gavra. It's not something where temporarily he's burying the dead, and therefore he's too busy to think about tefillah. No, he's completely excluded from mitzvahs. That's the status of an onen. He's a mela. There's no chiyuv tashlum for someone who's not chayev. You were never chayev in tefillah as long as he was an onen. Mashaikin, a person who's osek, that's a whole different story.
What about mitzvah on sukkahs?
Wait, just give me one more second, Daniel. Avaladrisha sover, the onus, eno bar chiyuva klal. Wow, this is wild. The Drisha went up and say that there's no difference between an onen and any other onus, mitigating circumstance with Allah says, drop tefillah. In all cases, you're not a bar chiyuva at all. Which is absolutely wild. Because I don't know, I'm thinking to myself, what would the Drisha say if in the middle of this Oseg B'tzorkei Tzibur, this guy would get up and be motzi you in shofar or lulav or some other mitzvah? He's not a bar chiyuva. How far is he going? Go, Daniel. What was he saying?
I'm confusing. I'll ask you after the shiur.
Alright, the shiur is coming to an end now, so this is a good time to ask, but I just want to summarize. I think that this machlokas between the Taz and the Drisha is like, that's a derech halim. Meaning, if you ever wanted to ask me what happens when we put aside a chiyuv, are we just putting it into suspended animation, we're delaying it, or we're removing the chiyuv? This is the Taz and the Drisha. I'm telling you, it's a perfect example.
This is a real parallel to Hoshem Dechuya. This one, I think.
Let's think. If you're going to say Dechuya, yeah. I'll tell you why I'm not comfortable. Dechuya usually applies when we violate an avera. Like, for example, for sake of a chola, we're going to allow him to eat nevela. Correct? That could be dechuya, could be hutra, and there's no iser at all. Should we give him puffus mikashir? Hutra, dechuya. We're talking about something a little bit different. I mean, again, it smacks of great similarity. But what we're talking about is Hafkas achiyuv, to make him into a lav bar chiyuv. That's how far the Drisha wants to go. Again, even the Taz agrees that fundamentally there is such a thing as hafkas gavra amachiyuv, in which we completely undermine the chiyuv, and that's going to be an onen case. But the Drisha wants to go very far, and whenever you're onus, and the Rabbanim say therefore you're potter, they'll be mafkir the chiyuv. You're a gavra that's not considered bar chiyuva. So it'd be unbelievable. According to the Drisha, just like if a cotton would blow shofar for you, you're not yotze, because a cotton is a lav bar chiyuva, right. So too an anus, who's potter. And let's even go a step further. What would be, according to the Drisha, if osek b'mitzvah is potter b'na mitzvah? And he went ahead, let's say, I'm trying to think on, and shofar is a little bit of a difficult example, but he was involved. Okay, let's say on Rosh Hashanah, let's say the second day of Rosh Hashanah in Chutz Laretz, he was burying the dead. Right? You know that. Have you ever seen that, by the way? I don't know. It's one of these halachas that got lost in the shuffle.
I've heard it
happen. It does. According to the strict halacha, you bury the dead in Chutz Laretz on Yom Tov Sheni, and here in Israel on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So what would be if this man on Rosh Hashanah was busy burying the dead on the second day of Rosh Hashanah? He blew shofar for you. Stuff according to the drisha, you would not be yours. Why? Because he's a gavala bar chiyuva. The Taz would say, no, he's chayav in the mitzvah shofar. Baruch Shalom. What's different between him and anybody else? Narvas, right now he's being osik in a different mitzvah. So he's on us, but don't tell me he's not a bar chiyuva.
If that's true,
Gavino Gabi Tashlumen is very sharp. All right.
If that's true, if what happens is if you're parted from the mitzvah because of a didiraisa,
yeah.
Then that period that tour ended before the zman of the kiyum of the mitzvah.
The second mitzvah.
Yeah.
So right away you'd be chayv. If you hold that it's only, if we say it's only a temporary suspension, then we're just waiting for that split second where it can zoom down on you.
He's parted from chakras. That means even if he's no longer osek and what would parted him, that he's parted from chakras, for chakras is finished. But all he can do is that.
Oh, I see what you're asking. You're asking a different question. Maybe we can say it's a din in the tefillah itself.
That's right. Exactly.
That somehow. Yeah, but I don't know if you could. You could say that, but I think you'd still have to be assuming that it's a din of hafkah. Meaning, if you're going to say that it's a delay, so I don't know that you can say that the delay is chal and the cheftish on tefillah. You know what I'm saying? That the tefillah.
I don't know, that's what I'm asking.
You know, I don't see how you can get to that point. The only way of getting to the point in which you say that chakras is gone for him is if you tell me that he was never a bachiyuv in chakras at all. And that could be the approach of the drisha, but not of the taz.
Yeah, right. But
I'm not sure if on this Rosh Hashanah case, so obviously he's a bachiyuv. Isn't he? Is some form of bachiyuv? Like the case of the cotton who was mighty his father in benching with a father in the shame. Remember the case?
He ate kazayas.
Although he's not a mitzvah, but he's I can't remember the svara there.
Right. I remember we discussed it.
What's a bachiyuv? Yeah.
You remember we learned in the second.
He's a gavachiyuv, not bachiyuv.
Wow. All right, Rabbi Moshe, we'll stop here. But what I'd like to ask you, if possible, is you can hold on to these pages, just because I know Alan was my shliach mitzvah today, and I owe him a debt of gratitude for photocopying these pages. But I don't relish the idea of photocopying them again. So you have two choices: either you give it to me and I'll lose it, or you hold on and you listen.
I'm going to get the new one. Sorry.
All right. So by me it's a subbing, by you it's a vada.
Well, what I'll do, I'll make a pshara with you.
Yeah.
If you have to come get the safer, I'll give you this along with it.
Oh, okay. But I'll.